joining me to discuss this issue is our science editor, Dr. Heather Goldstone. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, what impact can a single town have by banning these plastic bottles?
Well, I think we have to be realistic. The impact is probably, the biggest impact will probably be an educational or awareness impact. You know, but again, we have to be realistic. This is one town banning water bottles. Americans drink, it's estimated, about 32 million gallons of bottled water every day. The Environmental Working Group says that we could line the equator all the way around the planet, once every 27 hours with the water bottles that we use. So one town is not going to make an enormous dent in that plastic water bottle usage, but it did get us talking about it this morning, and it could spark a lot of other conversations in which we start to talk about our use of natural resources and how we deal with our waste.
Well, what about the argument that the plastic bottles don't need to be banned because they can be recycled?
You know, there's a scientist here in Woods Hole who, among other things, studies plastic, and he once said to me something that really stuck in my brain. The logos that say reduce, reuse, recycle should be redesigned because, in reality, reduce needs to be at least twice as big as reuse, and then the same for recycle. That recycle should be sort of a last resort, and somehow it's become our first choice for how to handle waste issues instead of trying to actually reduce waste. You know, there's also the fact that we say that we can recycle these bottles, but in reality, just under 30% of plastic bottles in this country actually get recycled, and that's actually one of the highest amounts of recycling for any kind of plastic. If you look at plastic bags, those are less than 1% of plastic bags get recycled. So we can say that recycling is an option, and it certainly is an option, but relying on it solely is obviously not going to solve the problem.
You know, Heather, I do a lot of beach walking in my spare time, and it's interesting when I walk like the outer beaches of the beaches of outer Cape Cod. When you go to the beach access points, you don't really see a lot of plastic. But when you start to walk down the beach, say, a good distance from those beach access areas, you begin to see all kinds of plastic that has washed up on the beaches. And I also hear about this great garbage patch that's floating in the Pacific Ocean. Does that exist in a... Are we really experiencing a lot of extra plastic trash washing on our shores?
Absolutely. Tons of plastic escape from the waste stream every year, even if people's best intentions of recycling or disposing of plastic appropriately. A lot of it just, you know, blows out of trash cans or makes its way out of the waste stream, and eventually a lot of that does make its way into the ocean. You referred to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. This is kind of a popular name for the fact that in the middle of both actually the Pacific and the Atlantic, we now know, there are these circular circulating patterns where the water just kind of pulls the plastic and concentrates it in the middle of the ocean. But there's not really a floating island of trash, as a lot of people think. There have been some statistics and some ideas put out there that are a little misleading. In fact, the problem is even more insidious than a floating island of trash. There are billions of very tiny pieces of trash. The average size of a piece of plastic found in the ocean is just a couple millimeters wide. And so there are all these teeny tiny pieces of plastic floating around in the ocean. And one of the biggest problems is that they're getting into the food chain because, say, seabirds that dive and try to get small fish from near the surface will often see the glint off of a piece of plastic and mistake that for food and instead end up swallowing plastic. Something like 25 or 30% of small fish in the Pacific in one study were found to contain plastic in their stomachs. So certainly the issue of plastic in the ocean is a major one, and a couple of scientists who have been looking at some of these statistics about how much trash is in the ocean and then also what we could possibly do to clean that up have said that it would take 250 times more energy to try to clean up that plastic, and that there's not really any good solution for how to get all of those tiny pieces of plastic out of the ocean. But if we could come up with some way, it would probably take 250 times more energy than it took to originally make the plastic in the first place.
So the idea is to, if at all possible, simply reduce the amount of plastic that we use.
That's absolutely the first line of defense, is to reduce the amount of plastic we use. And that has a lot of environmental impacts, not just on the waste side of things, but of course, plastic is made from petroleum, and somewhere between 5 and 10% of our petroleum use, of our oil usage, actually goes to making plastic. So reducing our use of plastic has a lot of environmental benefits. It could also have health benefits. We're learning more and more about the estrogenic, the hormone-like impacts of a lot of chemicals that are in plastics. And in fact, one study a couple of years ago found that more than 70% of all the plastics. They tested something like 450 different plastic products, found that all of them, when they're put into a salty water solution that would be similar either to seawater or to our body fluids, leach these estrogenic chemicals. And if you expose those plastics to sunlight or to wind or to motion, kind of like dishwashing or like being in the ocean, that goes up to 95% of them leaching estrogenic chemicals. So there are also public health reasons to start looking at reducing our use of plastics.
Well, thank you so much. Fascinating as usual. Our science editor, Dr. Heather Goldstone, speaking to us this morning from Woods Hole. Thank you, Heather.
My pleasure.